Ladies and gentlemen, thinkers and debaters, fence sitters and firebrands, welcome to the Big Top of Talk, the high-flying, death-defying, no-holds-barred spectacle of ideas. This is Common Ground, where left meets right, up meets down, and common sense fights to survive. We're here to cut through the noise, bridge the divide, and maybe, just maybe, find a little middle ground along the way. So grab your coffee, buckle up, and keep your hands inside the conversation at all times. Because it's time for open minds, open dialogue, and maybe even a little common ground for the common good. Here are your hosts, Melissa Lucas and Scott Goodman.
Hello and good morning. Scott Goodman here with my co-host Melissa Lucas, and welcome to another episode of Common Ground on KNTR Talk Radio 106.7, 5 and 3, Voice of the Free. And catch us here every Tuesday morning at 9 a.m. Listen, I've said this before, but Common Ground was an idea turned into an obsession and made into a reality thanks to the vision of the station and its people. Now, 6 months later, we have made the show into something we can be proud of. I believe we all have a chance to make a difference, be agents of change, closing the gap between left and right. I know we cannot reach everyone, but this is a large percentage of people on both sides that want to find common ground, bridge the divide, and heal our ailing nation. Someday, hopefully, together, both sides on the political spectrum will work together to build a future, to make America the America we all dream of and make it a reality. Not for us, but for our community, our state, and our nation. And Melissa, how about letting our listeners know about our guest today, special guest, and the staff that makes the show happen, and let our listeners know how to reach us at Common Ground, featured on KNTR Talk Radio.
Welcome back, everyone. So you can give us a call at 928-854-5687, which is also KNTR, or you can text in at 928-727-5566. We've got Marissa June, our producer, in the house today. Red Bull Ronnie, our co-creator, is here, as well as Paul Lavoie, our operations manager. And Danny Garcia was here a little bit ago taking some pictures for the video and video for the website. Our guest today is the Lake Havasu City Mayor, Cal Sheehy. Welcome to the show. And we are going to be doing an Ask the Mayor open dialogue. So please text us in again, 928-727-5566, or call in 928-854-KNTR with any of your questions for the mayor. And I'm going to start right off the bat. Whose idea was it for those meridians?
Yes.
Meridians. The medians. Those things we call them in the Northwest.
So the first of all, thank you so much for having me. I'm glad to be part of your show.
It's a pleasure.
The medians are a really hot topic that
they really are.
That folks are talking about throughout the community. They are a project of ADOT, so the Arizona Department of Transportation controls SR-95, State Route 95, that goes through our community. The funding mechanism came through the Metropolitan Planning Organization, and this has been in the tip since 2019. So it takes about a five-year process to get the funding together.
Did we ask for this to happen?
It was done through safety grants, so it's a HSIP project for highway safety.
It's a spend it or lose it situation.
Yes, and it's all based on... in this case, fatalities in this area is what allowed for the grant fundings to be available for the medians to be installed. So Lake Havasu City was not involved in the scoping of the project, awarding the bid of the project, or the vendor. It was all done through ADOT.
Interesting.
Well, the thing that most people are concerned with when I spoke to them in my business at Looky Lose is the concern about the fact that they didn't shift the median farther over, that it was it could have been narrower a bit to give more room in the lanes. Mm-hmm. That was the number one complaint. And the number two complaint was, and there's certain sections where there's no shoulder.
Yes.
And that's a major safety concern. If there is an accident, the emergency vehicles will literally have to drive on the median just to get to the accident.
Mm-hmm.
So that was an overwhelming concern as a safety concern. And the fact that at this point, and I believe, Cal, that I'm sure they're addressing it, is to get safety dots or reflective material on the edges so people don't hit it. Is that something that's in the works?
Yeah, I asked for that after the project was started. I had talked to ADOT and our district engineer about the safety history on it, you know, what really drove this. You know, our citizens were asking for some information. When I drove it this weekend, there are reflectors, reflective paint now that are going in as they're, you know, completing the project. But, you know, I'm not a fan of the medians, but we're not the first city to have them.
Right. They're so wide, though.
Yes. Well, you know, it's wide from what we used to have. So the lane, the actual lane distance is the exact same it was before. People just took the liberty and used more space than the lane provided prior. Again, I'm not so supporting. I just want to state some facts. I mean, we're not the first city that had an issue that had a median put in where, you know, safety personnel weren't able to get to the area.
So from a perspective of safety, I believe that the main reason and the thrust of putting those medians in is to prevent head-on collision and improper turns that would create T-boning type of accidents where people are going to run into each other. Makes perfect sense. The concern that I had or the question I have is, why did it have to be that wide? If you put up a barrier that's this high and 1 foot wide, nobody's going to jump over those to get around. So to see this, you know, what is it, 8-10 feet wide? Mm-hmm. I just didn't see the necessity of having it that wide, which would leave room for emergency vehicles and or a shoulder of some kind. Mm-hmm. Who was it or how did it come to pass that the dimensions and the scope of the medians, how did that come to pass? Did the city have any input on that?
No, that's ADOT that did the scoping and also did the award of the bid for the contractor that is.
And we don't have any say. You can't go. You couldn't say, well, actually, these are too wide. And
yeah, we've had some influence, you know, with getting some of the safety features put in with the reflectors, the paint, and some of those types of things. They're certainly taking our feedback, and the feedback I'm providing is the feedback I'm receiving from citizens.
So the design itself, was the city shown the design and the plans before they implemented and started the process?
No, I actually was under the impression it was going to be K-Rail, which is similar to what you talked about,
right?
You know, like a 4 foot cement
barrier. And they're like Legos, and you just put them together, and they're
exactly,
and they're skinny, and they don't take up all that space.
Right.
So last night, one of my servers was on her way to work, and there was a guy in the ditch between Lake and Chenowick, and the sheriff department responded or whatever, but the emergency vehicles were taking up both the lanes, so
it was blocked.
It was completely blocked, and you know, obviously she was late for work, and so that's just one person last night. You know, this is going to be an issue with not being able to turn around.
Well, yeah, you know, when historically in Lake Havasu, when there is an accident in the stretch of the highway from Mulberry to Acoma, you know, in front of the Water Safety Center, the entire stretch of the highway is closed and there's no median there. So they reroute the traffic through Jamaica and folks are able to continue going that way. So there are measures that public safety puts in place to redirect traffic to keep the flow going. But when accidents happen, yes, there is going to be some times.
So what I find to be, we got a text already?
We do. I also want to jump in with one last concern. If someone were to break down on the highway or they have an issue, a lot of places on that stretch, especially as you get closer to Walmart, there's no shoulder anything for them to pull over, and now the middle lane is gone for someone to get out of the way.
We talked about that. There's the partial shoulder that kind of it's angled off, but it's at a steep angle, maybe 30 degrees, 25 degrees. We have a text.
This is a good question. It says the city of Bullhead controls some of 95. Does it make sense for Lake Havasu City to do the same?
Yeah, so Bullhead City took over management of their stretch of Highway 95 just this last year. The district engineer asked us the same. The Bullhead City has a different set of circumstances, so they have all of their businesses have driveways off of Highway 95 to get into their places of business, and they were having some issues with permitting. So the length of time it was taking to get a permit to get these new businesses open along that highway stretch, and so Bullhead City thought it was beneficial for them to control that process. But in addition, they're also going to take on the responsibility for the maintenance of the system. And so Lake Havasu City could do something similar, but the HERF monies, which is the Highway User Revenue Fund money, contribution that we would get would not cover the cost to maintain the system. So we don't really have an interest in charging our local taxpayers any additional monies when we're not having issues with permitting or those types of things. So
very few businesses on 95.
Exactly.
So a question relating to that, and to close out maybe on the medians, did you find it disheartening as a person who's running our town as the mayor that you had little or no input on the design structure and implementation of those medians? I mean, I would have been infuriated.
Yeah, you know, the one thing with me is I don't really run on emotion. I run more on facts. I'm not an expert in roads, and so I have to rely on the engineers that do that. The safety information that has been provided, again, there's Lake Havasu City citizens that have family members that are no longer with us because of accidents that occurred in these areas that the safety project came for. So, you know, change is hard. But again, we didn't invent medians. They're not new to us. They're new to us, but they're not new. And so if we like them or don't like them, you know, I wouldn't have been able to add a whole lot of contribution to it because
I
don't build
that.
Roads.
I get that. But here's the thing. I'm a 63-year-old man who's driven for over 50 years almost. And the question for me is, I've never seen medians like that. Well, that wide in that scope. Like you were saying.
100%. I agree. Yeah. I've been everywhere, and I've never seen them that wide.
And that low slung to where nobody can really see them. And if you look right now, if you currently drive down the highway, the side of them are all black from tire marks.
Yeah. Yes. I know. When you paint them yellow, they're just going to be black with tire marks real quick.
Yeah.
So.
When I went through, obviously paying attention to it now that they're here, we've had other medians in Lake Havasu. So the design of ours are actually the same ones that are in Bullhead City right now. So they're
the same width.
Same. Yeah. So it depends on different sections of the road. But it's also the same design that's in front of the Hobby Lobby Center now. At that Kiowa area, it's a little bit skinnier so that you can have the left-hand turn lane. But there have been examples in our community. But now I also pay attention to other medians. So if we take the median out in front of the studio here at Wheeler Park and along McCulloch, you'll see black marks on those curbs as well. So you'll see them on like Havasu Avenue. You see them, you know, throughout the different areas that we have medians.
Right.
So I think as motorists get used to it and the traveling along the highway, it might ease some of that pain. Again, this is all to say that this is not how I would have done it, but this is what we have in front of us.
It's a work in progress.
Yes.
And Listen, it's going to save lives.
Yes.
There's no doubt. Is it going to create inconvenience? Probably.
Mm-hmm.
Are people going to be upset and miffed by it? Sure. But in the long run, it's going to save lives.
Yes.
And that's what the whole object of the game was, is to save lives. How many people pay attention to every day we hear accidents? Every week or two, we hear fatalities.
Mm-hmm.
It's bad. So thank you for making sure that doesn't happen, hopefully, on 95 anymore, but we're going to wrap up this segment, and we'll be back shortly on Common Ground on KNTR Talk Radio, 106.75 and free.
Voice of the free.
Talk to you in a minute.
Welcome back to Common Ground, right here live on KNTR 106.75 and 3, Voice of the Free. We do a quick shout-out to our sponsors, Blonzy's Steakhouse, Golden Valley Auto Parts and Hardware, Annie's Thrift Shop, Top Turf AZ, Martin Swante and Kingman, Neat Pool and Supply, and Cloud Slingers. All right, you can call in at 928-854-5687 or text in at 928-727-5566. And I'm here with Scott Goodman and Cal Sheehy, the mayor of Lake Havasu City. And Marissa June, our producer. And we are having our Ask the Mayor segment. We just got done talking about
the
medians. The power bill is on my list.
Everybody's
list. Like, what can we do as we the people to get to put some pressure on the on those fees.
I got some hot information I gave you last week. I talked to an individual who's deeply entrenched in Unisource and says that there's going to be, I believe, a December 6% decrease in cost.
Have you heard that, Mayor?
Yeah, there's so the Corporation Commission is an elected body, statewide office. There's five commissioners that are elected, and there is an election coming up in 2026 where two of the commission members are going to be seeking re-election, and there's going to be other folks that are going to be looking for that position. So the in Arizona, the utilities are regulated monopolies. They have to go into the Corporation Commission for rate increases, and the process takes a really long time. And so it's hard for ratepayers and citizens to engage in the process because it could take up to 2 years or 3 years before the case is proposed and our bills come in our mail, which is what surprised all of us last July when that occurred. Now, timely, today at 4:30 at Mojave College here in Lake Havasu City, RUCO will be here to talk about a pending rate increase that Unisource is looking for on the gas side. So if you have gas utilities, they're looking to propose an increase there as well. And RUCO is going to give our citizens and ratepayers some avenues to have a voice and to help influence the decision of the Corporation Commission on this particular case. Now, the decrease, Scott, that you talked about that's coming forward, it's my understanding that there is some surcharge of some sort that
being decreased.
That would be as part of the prior rate case. So the Corporation Commission in this instant acts as a quasi-judicial authority, meaning that they only can address the cases that are in front of them. So when they come in front of them, the decision then stands as final. There is a process for citizens to go through and with due process, and we actually had two citizens here in Lake Havasu City that really led the way, Nancy Dickey and Ruby Pippin, who did a fantastic job and collected nearly 15,000 signatures from ratepayers and citizens in our community to try and say, you know, this is not okay. They did such a fantastic job, but that's only the first process. Then the next process takes money, and you have to, you know, open a case for the commission.
And as you well know, it's actually worse than that.
Yes.
It's a boondoggle. I mean, to get through and get anything done, they make it onerous for anybody to be able to attempt to do that on their own, and even in a large-scale effort and a movement, they run their own show, and they work on their own terms.
Except for the part that the citizens are involved in, and we don't pay enough attention to across the state, is the election of the commissioners. And so it's really, there's, you know, statewide offices, governor, attorney general, state superintendent of public instruction, the treasurer, the secretary of state, and then the five commissioners.
And it's on the very bottom, and nobody pays attention
to
it.
No one does, and it's very complicated, and it's difficult, but we need to ensure that we're electing the correct people that are going to have the will of the people,
right,
and not the will of the utilities.
How does a citizen like ourselves, mm-hmm. how do citizens like ourselves find out who is on the side of the citizenry? How do we find that out?
Right.
How is that information made available to us?
It can be very difficult. So it's doing all of your due diligence that you do in any election. So just last night, the London Bridge Republican Women had two candidates that are seeking that office, were their speakers. The Republican Men's Club this morning had those same speakers. Heap and Marshall are the two they're running as a ticket, I guess.
And their platform is?
The consumer. So their platform is the consumer. From their words at the presentation I attended yesterday. So obviously I just met them myself yesterday.
Gotcha.
So this is in no way an endorsement. Mm-hmm. It's way too soon for me to do that. But they said the right things in mind of the consumers and the consumer interest across the state of Arizona, which I thought was refreshing.
Yes.
And so I think it's really important that we pay attention to who's running for office and what their intentions are and what they're going to do when they are in office across all levels,
specifically
in this scenario.
Well, something interesting that a lot of people might not be aware of, and I'd like to address this for our listeners. Most of the consumers of electricity in our town are struggling with their electric bills, and what they've done is they've gone on to the balanced budgeting for their bill. But what they don't know, and they need to read down on their bill, it's an estimate based on their previous usage, and if the cost of your usage goes up, the budget billing stays the same, and you accrue billing that's not being paid through your budget billing. So, for example,
and that probably has interest on it, and
yes,
that's
and
no
so,
bueno.
So, what? Let's just say, for example, you have an $800 bill, but your budget billing $600. There's $200 being tacked onto your bill. That's an outstanding balance. Okay, so I need our listeners to be aware of that, that you might get a relief of some kind and get your bill monthly bill reduced, but doesn't mean you don't owe the other money. And so it may come to a tipping point where you're no longer eligible for balanced budgeting, and then now payment is due, time to pay the piper. Okay, and like in my case for my business, I wasn't aware of this until about a month ago. I pay $600-$700 a month for my business, but I looked on the little bottom balance there, it says I owe them $2,500.
Well,
in addition to the money, I'm paying my bill on time, but it doesn't equal the amount of the actual bill, so it's accruing more billable. That's not good.
That's not good.
No, and if you in a case like you,
yeah, oh my gosh,
it could be huge.
Mine's astronomical. So you guys call us 928-854-5687 or give us a text 928-727-5566. We want to hear from you guys. You know, this affects you.
This
affects all of us. And now's your chance to ask the mayor.
Yeah, and tonight, if you attend the event at Mojave College in Building 600 at 4:30 p.m., again, Ruco will be there talking about the
open
gas,
to the public.
Open to the public, absolutely. But there also are some tools that consumers can use as well to help with their bills. So I encourage you to attend.
Yeah. We have like a call. We got a phone call.
Hello, caller. You're on the air on KNTR Talk Radio, Common Ground.
Oh, hello. I'm Donna calling from Kingman.
Hi, Donna.
I just had a comment. I appreciate you saying that about the budget billing, because I thought there was some kind of gimmick to it.
There
and
is.
I never signed up for it. So
I didn't sign up for it either.
What it is it allows people to budget their billables for that particular account every month. You know what you're up against. You know if it's $600, it's going to always be $600. But if you use more, that money has to be paid sometime. It's not just going to disappear. It's not like, oops, we under budgeted. You know, no. It is, in a way, it is a gimmick, but it also gives people the peace of mind to know that there's a fixed amount that they're going to be paying every month. So there's a give and take there.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right. Well, I guess that's about it.
Appreciate
I'll
your call, Donna.
I'll say hi to the mayor, and I'll leave.
Hello.
Hi, Donna.
Hello. Hi. Okay, thanks so much.
Thank you. Okay, so a couple other issues that, as we talked on the break, I've been at city council meetings where there are development projects that are being reviewed, and that they, here we got another text and a call.
I got a text, too.
Let's do the text first.
These Democratic candidates are also running for Corporation Commission. Derek Escapades, Jonathan Hill, and Clara Pratt. So they wanted to make sure that the Democrat names got out there, because we are Common Ground, and we do all the sides.
Hello. Thank you, caller. My name is Scott, and who are you?
Yeah, I'm Norb.
Hey, how you doing today?
I got a question for the mayor.
He's right here.
Normally, you know, I love the way the city's run and everything. I've got no complaints. But here a couple of weeks ago, just before Labor Day, I took my son and his personal watercraft, a big jet ski, down to Site 6, and we launched down there. And we used my Jeep Wrangler. It's got big old knobby tires on it and everything. And he says, back up another foot, Dad. So I just let go. It's got an automatic in it. And I hit the edge of the water there. And my Jeep, I hit the brake, just keeps sliding down into the lake. So when they redid that ramp, originally the grooves were parallel with the ramp, which is ridiculous. Because it was fun to go down there and watch these car vehicles slide down into the water.
And they're done that.
Now, this time it's worse because there's no grooves anyway, and as soon as you hit that water, slime, algae, whatever, that you got no traction and you're just going for a ride backwards, you know.
Okay,
and I
can you address
figured
that?
Somebody's gonna, let's say State Farm, and somebody got a claim because the car is submerged. that the city's going to get sued big time for that little problem. They need to put grooves in it or crossways on that ramp.
Yeah, thank you, Norm.
That's it. I'll listen on the air.
Thank you. Appreciate your call.
Yeah, thank you for the information. Actually, it's the first time hearing of it. We just redid the ramp last year.
Oh.
Lowered the slope, so we changed the slope so it wasn't as steep, making it easier for people to get
out. Is that something that you can control? Can you make a phone call and be like, hey, can you put grooves in that
thing?
We
actually, Site 6 is the one that the city, it's a city-owned facility.
Huh.
So we can take a look at that there. We do have some obligations to the Bureau of Reclamation, the water group.
Uh-huh.
That we can only do work in a certain time if we're under the watermark. But, yeah, we absolutely will take a look at that and see what we can do to help address that.
Thank you for the call on that
Interesting.
One, Norm. So in regards to what we discussed on the break about infrastructure, so my concern was when I go to a council meeting, for example, and they would have a building project that was being reviewed, and the people did their research and their due diligence on determining the impact that that development will have on both the roadways, water, et cetera. We have another call.
Another Ask
Let's
the Mayor.
Take some more calls. Hello, caller. This is Scott. You're on Common Ground with the mayor. Hello? Goodbye.
Cool.
Call us back again. So my concern was, as I discussed before, if you have multiple projects that are going on in the same area at the same time, they're only being looked at from an impact study on the individual construction, the individual project, not as a whole what they're going to impact.
Can I call back?
Hey, I love getting
Hello.
Calls.
You're live on KNTR?
Yeah, I had some comments on the boat ramp at Site 6 that they redid.
Okay.
What they did was level it out so bigger boats, the big boats, could get in there, and they also had a problem getting out. The problem is they made it way worse. Now you have to back in way further across that moss, so you have to come out further. The other thing is, in the first ramp, there's three lanes. If I back down there, I cut off the artery that feeds that, and you cannot launch on the other two sides until I run my boat over to the dock, get off it, come back around, pull my truck out. And since they leveled it down, I can't launch my pipes on my truck go into the water. You have to go down so far into the water now. It was a total miss of the mark, and I use it. Whoever designed that obviously wasn't using it, and we don't get big boats down there. I can still launch my jet ski, but I can't launch my pontoon. It's just goes in too deep, covers my mufflers. Before, it never did that. Launched real easy, slid in and out. And one of the reasons they stated was to bring in the bigger boats. Bigger boats, those nice ones, don't want to launch at Site 6
no.
and deal
no.
with that.
Sure.
Yeah,
no, our intent wasn't for bigger boats. That was never the intent. The intent was to make it easier for folks to launch in that area. And
it made it harder. You got to go in deeper. You got to come out further across that moss. People are slipping and sliding, and they're getting the moss on their tires. So once they pull out, they have to go up again, up on dry land, and they're slipping going up on that because their tires are still covered. I just wish they could have washed the thing every once in a while, and it
sure.
was fine.
Yeah, no, I appreciate the feedback. This is really helpful.
Well, the mayor is going to check into it, as he said before.
I hate to see $800,000 blown, but it's worse than it was. They made it worse. Anyway,
thanks for the call. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
So,
$800,000.
Yeah, we were able to get a grant from Arizona State Parks and Trails to redo that area. And then we worked with former supervisor Buster Johnson to get an additional grant to redo the fishing pier as well. So we're working on that project right
now. We were addressing infrastructure, but my producer says we need to go on a break here on KNTR Talk Radio, Common Ground, 106.7, 5, and 3.
Voice of the free.
We'll see you in a minute or two.
Welcome back to Common Ground. We got Red Bull Ronnie here to read some sponsorship for us.
Hi. I just want to jump in here and thank our sponsors. I want to thank Bronzy Steakhouse, Melissa Lucas's very own restaurant. It's in Desert Hills. Whether it's date night or brunch, it was voted Lake Havasu's best steakhouse. Golden Valley Auto Parts and Hardware. We have something going on at Golden Valley Auto Parts and Hardware right now. It is 30% all Crescent brand tools.
Awesome.
So not just the branch, it's a full brand. And it's kind of a deal where if you go in there, the closer they get the running out of stuff, the higher the discount. So it's off Buddy Road in Golden Valley, just before Kingman. Got Annie's Thrift Shop. Shopping at Annie's Thrift Store isn't just about great deals. It's about getting back. And every month, every purchase that you do goes to a charity for that month. It's just south of Stockton Hill Road on Northern Avenue in Kingman. Top Turf 8Z. It's the largest showroom in Havasu. Unbeatable wholesale pricing, and they will price match. Top Turf is off is 92 North Lake Havasu Avenue. And Unbeatable Turf. Martin Swanee Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram and Kia. Since 1985, Martin Swanee Kingman has been more than a dealership. It's a legacy built on honest deals and handshakes. This year is their 40 years in doing business and doing right by folks. They're off East Andy Devine up in Kingman. Knee Pool and Supply, serving Havasu since 1970. Expert consultations, top-notch supplies and service. They got everything for pools and spas, family-owned and operated, in the heart of Havasu. 52 Scott Drive. And Cloud Slingers. Cloud Slingers is the largest vape shop in Arizona. They have 13 locations. Right now, if you go to any of the locations, Kingman, Bullhead, and Fort Mojave, and Havasu, you'll get 10% off your purchase. So your entire purchase is 10% off if you mention KNTR Talk or Common Ground.
Awesome.
And that's what we got. Back to you guys.
All right. Thanks, Ronnie. Okay. Back to the show. Ask the Mayor. So, do we have any text there, Marissa? Nope, that one. Okay. All right, well, you can text us in at 928-727-5566 or call in 928-854-5687 or KNTR. And we were just talking about the boat ramps and Site 6, and thank you for calling in and giving us your 2 cents on that.
So, I really, really want to get to the infrastructure issue. So, yeah. As we all know, Havasu's got a tremendous amount of growth. That's it goes in spurts. You know, you get big growth spurt, then a lull, and a big growth spurt, then some lulls. But my concern was the city does very good work on researching the impact of developments on the community and making sure that the infrastructure can support it. But as I was talking to the mayor about, they do an individual snapshot of a particular project, but they don't take into consideration generally what the other projects are in conjunction with the one that they're studying, how much impact that's going to have on the community as a whole, as a in toto. We have another call.
Hello, caller.
Yes, hi. I hate to interrupt you. I've got a question for Mayor Cal.
Okay.
Our Senator Sonny Braley, what's his position now?
He's the county supervisor for District 3 in Mojave County.
Okay. I love Sonny Braley. He's a great man. He's a veteran, and I love the veterans. Hey,
yes.
I'm a snowbird, and here's my question. I pick up all this garbage. My name's Bronson, and I have a motorcycle club in Pennsylvania called Bronson's Motorcycle Club. So I pick up all this trash on London Bridge Road, and whenever I go to the dump, they charge me to dump it. And I live in Desert Hills, so they give me a little discount for living in the county. But I haul all this trash I pick up on London Bridge Road. I get charged all the time. It's $20 here, $20 there. I go up to the truck stops, which are disgusting because I'm a retired vice president for a trucking company back east and from Pennsylvania. And I go to the truck stops. I pick up all this garbage and fill the back of my pickup truck, my Dodge, and fill it and go over to dump it, and they charge me $40. Because I'm tired of looking at all this garbage out there at 95 and 40 up by Pilot Truck Stop. And it costs me so much money to dump all this trash that isn't even mine that I spend the time picking up. And I'll get police officers and sheriffs stop and thank me constantly and people thanking me. And there's times I'm picking up garbage. I swear to God, it's the most disgusting thing.
So,
picking up garbage, and truck drivers will go out and throw their window, open up their window and throw a bag of garbage or a urine bottle, a milk jug full of urine, throw it out right in front of me when I'm picking up garbage.
So what do you want the mayor to do for you? How can he help?
Isn't there any way we could get somebody or the mayor to even talk to Pilot Truck Stop and Love's Truck Stop and see if they can't start picking up all that trash those truck drivers leave out there
Yeah, thank you, Bronson, for the call, and thank you for doing that. That's amazing. That's what makes our community so amazing, is people like you, you know, taking your own time and interest to do something like that. Certainly, I don't mind having a conversation with ADOT that controls that area. You know, the pilot and Love's truck stops are not in Lake Havasu city limits, so I have the same voice level as you have. So I would encourage you to also have those conversations with the management when you're out there. I'll mention it to them next time I'm out there as well, but in the meantime, I'll talk to ADOT about cleaning that area
right there
at the ramp at I-40 and 95.
What about specifically with Bronson? What you were talking about, though, is I think it's something that the mayor can address, is maybe get some kind of a coupon or dispensation for him picking up trash at the dump. Is that anything that can be done there?
No, you know, the landfill is owned by Lake Havasu City. We're under contract with Public Services to manage the landfill under contract. Uh-huh. All Lake Havasu City residents pay as part of their water bill, a monthly trash fee to pay for that. And so when it comes to these types of projects, although they're very good, and I'm so glad you and others take advantage of these types of opportunities to keep the area clean, the citizens of Lake Havasu then would be paying for that trash, which might not necessarily be there. Residents of Desert Hills have a different situation. I'm not familiar with it specifically, but their relationship with Republic Services is different than Lake Havasu City.
Bronson, I have an offer for you, okay? Are you ready?
Yes.
I own a store called Looky Lou's Antiques in Lake Havasu, okay?
Okay. Which store is it, sir?
Looky Lou's Antiques. It's on Mesquite. What I'm asking you to do is up to, let's say, $100 a month, if you bring me the bills from the dump, when you dump, you bring it to my store, and I'll refund you that money. I'll do it out of my store's profits. I'll pay for you.
Well, that's very nice of you.
I will do it. You come to my store. My name is Scott. I'm the owner. You come to me and bring me your bills for dumping waste that you brought out to clean up our city, and I'll be honored to pay for it.
That's so funny that you just said that, because I was thinking the same thing. I'm out in Desert Hills, and I got two dumpsters. You know, you're welcome to throw stuff in my dumpsters as well.
There you go. There's more.
I'm right there at 4501 London Bridge Road, Blomsey Steakhouse. I have two dumpsters behind my venue, and every Friday they are dumped. And you're more than welcome to throw some trash in there. I love what you're doing. I just barely touched on this with Karen Taylor Robeson last week about why Arizona doesn't have a bottle bill and why we don't recycle here. To me personally, I felt like a criminal the first time I opened up that big can of ketchup, and I asked, where is the recycling bin? My first day in Lake Havasu, and they said, we don't do that here. It blew my mind.
Well, I mean, we do have a recycling.
I don't have a recycling bin at my restaurant.
No.
I have two giant dumpsters. But my Oregon restaurant has a regular dumpster and then a huge recycling bin. So it's just different.
Yeah, that's the way it is back east.
Yeah.
I live north of Philadelphia in the Poconos, and that's the way it is back east. I don't know.
Bronson, I appreciate your call. We got to move on. But thank you for your call. And feel free to come to my store or go to Blonzy's and dump your trash
Blonzy's.
There.
Thank you, Blondie. I live right behind you in Havasu Estates, and somebody dumped a big air conditioner right in front of your business last weekend at night, and I picked it up.
Oh,
in my truck.
Thank
you. And I threw it in my back out, putting it in the truck, and I picked it up. But that's what pigs are, you know.
Thank you.
Appreciate
the call. Your efforts, Bronson. Thank you.
I had no idea. And we do have another text that says, and you did actually address this, is Unisource the only electric company in town? Isn't that considered a monopoly? And you were saying that we have something that regulates the monopolies.
Yeah, Arizona has regulated monopolies when it comes to utilities, and that's what the Arizona Corporation Commission, one of their roles are, the commission members are to manage those monopolies to ensure that we have access to electrical power in all areas of the state.
Sure. So one question that's unrelated to everything we've been discussing. There's been a lot of scuttlebutt on social media, and a lot of it is not true. Our hospital situation.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of complaints about our hospital, and it's relatively lower ranked in reference to state rankings as far as facilities go. However, that being said, people need to do their due diligence. If they dig through, they're A-rated. It's an A-rated hospital, and if you look at comparatives from other hospitals on average, they're above most of them. But yet, if you go to Arizona hospital rankings, they're in the bottom five. So there's a dichotomy there. There's a conflict there. So I want you as mayor to maybe tell me what your thoughts are on our hospital facilities here in town and what you hear.
Yeah, so, you know, a lot of folks that need to go to the hospital, generally it's not their best day. And so they're already in pain, they're in some sort of an issue, and they're trying to seek relief. And so my experiences with the hospital have been nothing but positive. We have some amazing physicians and nurses and care professionals that work at the hospital every single day, providing great care to our citizens. We have people that come to Lake Havasu, and any of us that live here year-round know this, for medical tourism. So a lot of our winter visitors save up their hip replacements and knee replacements until sure. they come in the winter. And so we have lots of great things. The hospital was just awarded a Leapfrog Green for patient care, which is the best that you can get. As I say with anything, is there you need someone to advocate for your care if you can't advocate for yourself. And the hospital, in my experience, in all of the years I've lived here, which is over 30 years, has done fantastic things.
I had a heart attack last year, and I was treated very well, and was well taken care of, and I was applauded the work that they did for me. But prior to that, I may be completely honest, I was a major detractor because of my emergency room experience with them. And that's the largest complaint, the biggest focus of complaints is not getting service in a reasonable time in emergency care, unless it's a dire emergency.
Yeah, so something interesting about that is many people think the ER is ran by the hospital, but it's a medical practice of its own.
Correct.
And so the hospital just contracted with a new provider, and they're mitigating people's concerns and getting them through the system at a fairly quick pace right now. I've heard really good feedback on the new providers that are in the ER.
We have another text.
This is regarding the hospital, mm-hmm. and it says, some people think that the change from a nonprofit to a for-profit hospital has been an issue. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, so in this region, we have several nonprofit, and we have for-profit. So Havasu Regional is for-profit. Then we have La Paz Regional, a nonprofit, and Kingman Regional, which is also a nonprofit. And so depending on the type of care that you would like delivered, you have choices as citizens. The fact of the matter is that LifePoint owns our hospital. And so short of us as a city, citizens rising up and wanting to purchase an asset such as that, it will remain a for-profit institution. So
I get that. And one of the things that I hear frequently, a lot of my clients at my store are traveling nurses.
Mm-hmm.
There's a burgeoning influx of traveling nurses due to staffing shortages at the hospital. But we can address that as we come back for our final segment here on Common Ground, 106.7, 5, and 3.
Voice of the Free.
See you back in a minute or two. All right, gang, listen, we're back for our final wrap-up segment here, but I just want to address something. Common Ground, the premise and the methodology behind this was to have myself as a conservative constitutionalist and a fiscal conservative with my right-leaning libertarian, I would say, middle-of-the-road host.
Sort of, yeah.
Yeah, which is fine, and bring on a liberal Democratic guest. We've deviated a couple times because I can't pass up having a top gubernatorial candidate, having our mayor on board with us. So I apologize to people looking for the different direction of opinions. I think that the fact that we were having, you know, stern discussions about the media and the hospitals, et cetera, shows that there is a difference of opinion even amongst Republicans and conservatives. But that being said, wrapping up this segment here, you know, there's a couple of things that people wanted, safety reasons. On Shimawavy, near where Thunderbolt is, there is a need for a crosswalk for the kids when they get out of school to get across the street. They have no way to get across the street safely. So when they come down Roanoke and they come down to Shimawavy, they have no way to cross the street. They have to walk all the way down to the stop sign.
To Jamaica
to mm-hmm. be able to do that. So I think somebody needs to look at maybe getting a crosswalk there.
Yeah, crosswalks are can be a double-edged sword. So you, when you have a crosswalk, you as a pedestrian assume that it's safe to walk.
Right. It is. You always have the right of way.
You need to make eye contact.
Yeah, and if a driver is not, if the crosswalk's not placed in a place that makes sense for the driver.
Yeah, like around a bend.
Which that is.
Exactly.
You're coming around a bend off of Shemawavy when you meet Roanoke if you're heading towards Jamaica.
So I only brought it up because it was brought to my attention. And then the other one that was also brought to my attention is, I don't know if they changed it, but on the big light at Mulberry and 95 and Lake Havasu Avenue, it used to be timed. It was timed, and then it went to traffic regulated, and now it seems to be back to timed again. So is there some methodology or reasoning behind how the lights are calibrated?
Yes, so that, again, this is Highway 95, so we have to coordinate with our partners at ADOT to do that. But it's always been timed. I was never familiar that particular intersection was done on traffic.
There was a time when, like at nighttime, for example, sometimes I'll be out late, and I'll be driving down Lake Havasu Avenue going into town, and it'd be snap, 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 and next thing it's a green light for me.
Oh, interesting.
Okay,
yeah.
And then the other question I had, and it's a pretty big idea. Do you have the ability to look into, or I know you do, on a Jamaica and McCulloch on the top of the hill, during the early morning and when school's in session, and during the afternoon after school gets out, it's just a snarl, mm-hmm. a big snarl up there, and always has been. Is there any way to get a flashing light that's as like a stop sign? And then at night or in the non-heavy traffic hours, just be a flashing light and then have a regulated normal stoplight during high traffic periods.
Yeah, the traffic light is actually going to be installed this month at that intersection. So
There you go. Good call.
Wow. That was fast.
Yes.
Well, anyways, last question I have for you is would you like to come back on our show again sometime?
Sure. Yeah, you let me know and I'd be happy to.
Awesome.
Thank you for having me.
That'd be great. And then next week, I believe we're having a friend of mine from a Democratic Party, Paul Smith. He was on our show once before. He'll be coming on, and then after that, we're going to have Hildy on.
Is that Dr. Paul?
No, not Dr. Paul.
Oh.
But listen, we'll catch you next time on KNTR Talk Radio, 106.7, 5 and 3.
Voice of the free.
Common ground.
See you next Tuesday.
Thank you.
This is KNTR Talk, KGJJ HD2 Laughlin. Heard on 106.7 FM, 106.5, and 106.3. The voice of the free.